Good morning. Glad to see everyone in church today on this holiday weekend as we continue to celebrate the blessing of our nation and the freedoms that it affords to us. Today we'll be focusing especially on our reading from Galatians chapter 6, where St. Paul gives us a list of spiritual to-dos, and we'll speak about that during today's message. Our first hymn is number 793, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. I invite you to rise as we sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll join together in the intro from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. and night to night reveals knowledge. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 66, beginning with verse 10. Rejoice with it, Jerusalem, and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, and you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today's reading from the Psalms is a portion of Psalm 66, which we'll read aloud together. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Our epistle reading is from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise.
Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. We invite our kids up for today's children's message. Good morning, everybody. It's been a pretty good year in the garden this year. I don't know how many of you guys have gardens at home, but we've had rain throughout this month, or the last month and this month too, and it was looking like it was going to get dry, but everything has turned out okay for us here, and it's not been too hot yet for everything to burn up. And it got me thinking about how gardens work. What's the first thing you need to do at the beginning of the season to make sure you're going to have a crop in your garden? Plant seeds, absolutely. I brought some seeds with me here. These are some scarlet runner beans. Let's see, these here are, we've got pictures on this one.
Watermelon.
This one's a little different, cilantro. Some people call this one a weed instead of a plant, right? I don't know why we plant this in our garden. You can buy it for like 10 cents in the store. But, you know, sometimes we plant this stuff anyway. Now, when I plant this scarlet runner bean in the garden, after a while, what's going to come up? Squash?
No.
What's going to come up, do you think?
Nothing.
Nothing? Well, sometimes nothing, right? Yeah. A bean, right? And I'm going to put this watermelon seed in the ground, and am I going to get cucumbers? No. What am I going to get? And cilantro. What am I going to get? Yeah. All right. Good job. You know, that reminds me of something that Paul taught us in Galatians today. He says, a man reaps what he sows. Now, he wasn't just talking about a garden. He was using that as a metaphor, saying whatever it is that we plant in our life, if it's anger and rumors and all kinds of bad things, you know, we're going to reap those bad things later. So later on, it's going to just create more bad things and more trouble. If we're mad and angry with one of our friends at school, do you think they're going to be mad and angry with us later too? Yeah. But if we sow forgiveness and love and joy, those things will create a bountiful harvest in our life. And we call that actually the fruits of the Spirit. Now, one other thing that I was thinking about with the garden that comes up today in Galatians is this. He tells us that we also ought to bear one another's burdens. You know, if you ever have some big stuff growing in the garden, maybe like this, what do we have here?
Pumpkin.
Are they hard to carry all by yourself?
Yeah.
Yep. And so what do I have a picture of here? A wheelbarrow. It helps us to carry that heavy load. And you and I can be like that with other people. When they're carrying something heavy in their life or having a really hard time, we can help them carry that heavy load. And you know what? Later on when we're having a hard time, they're going to help us carry a heavy load too. Paul teaches us a lot today about reaping what we sow and bearing one another's burdens. It's a good reminder for you next time you're out in the garden of what Paul taught today. Would you guys pray with me today? And we got enough kids here, you can be loud enough that all the adults can hear.
Dear God,
thank you for teaching us to sow good things
in our lives
so we will reap good things
from you.
Help us also
to
carry one another's burdens. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks everybody. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm wondering, do you keep a to-do list? I think most of us do. If you're up to speed, maybe yours is digital. Maybe it lives on an app somewhere on your phone. Maybe you're more of a pen and paper type of person instead, scratching things off the list one by one. I'm a sticky note guy, personally. Some of us just keep a mental checklist. It floats around in the back of our minds. But regardless of the format, we all have one. And occasionally, what do you have to do with your to-do list? You have to pause and take stock. What have I finished? What is there that is still left undone? Imagine, though, that you also have a spiritual to-do list. If you were to imagine that for a moment, what would be on it? Well, in our text today, Paul the Apostle gives us just such a list. Well, what we find is that it's not a burdensome list of things that we have to do in order to earn God's favor. Instead, we find it's a gracious, guiding list, a spirit-filled picture of what life looks like when it is that you walk as a new creation in Christ. Now, the list he gives us in Galatians 6 is indeed extensive. It has on it that we should restore one that's caught in sin, that we should bear one another's burdens. We should guard ourselves against spiritual pride, that we should sow to the Spirit so that we will reap a harvest of eternal life, that we should do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith, that we should live not for ourselves, but live as ones who boast only in the cross. It's a big list, isn't it? And it invites us to ask today, how many of these things can we check off? Paul begins with these words. He says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted." You know, there's a humility baked into that sentence, isn't there? Anyone can be caught in a transgression. In fact, the Greek word for caught here, it implies being overtaken or trapped unexpectedly. It reminds us that we're all vulnerable, of course. Temptation, it's a subtle thing. It's all around us, and sin creeps in, sometimes before we even realize it entirely. That's why Paul doesn't just tell us to keep our own noses clean, but he calls us to look out for our brothers and sisters. You see, when someone stumbles, the Christian thing to do isn't to walk away. It's not to shake our heads. It's definitely not to whisper about them after church. The Christian response is restoration. The Christian response is not condemnation, not judgment, but restoration. Now, Paul gives us a key word here on how we do this. He uses the word gentleness. It reminds us that restoration, when one's caught in sin, it's not like surgery done with a chainsaw. Instead, it's a delicate work. It's kind of like when you reset a broken bone. You want it to be healed, not further shattered, so the work must be done carefully. And whenever we do this kind of thing, we do it, of course, mindful of our own weakness, because none of us stands on higher moral ground. All this brings about the question of is there someone in your life who you found to be a bit distant lately? Someone that you might suspect is caught in their own sin, struggling with it silently. What do? Reach out, gently, lovingly, and prayerfully. That's one of those items that Paul gives us on our spiritual to-do list. He continues on, he says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, the Christian life is not meant to be a life that's lived alone. It's supposed to be a shared life. As Paul teaches in another place, if one part of the body of Christ hurts, well, then the whole body feels it, because we are of one body together. And so we bear our burdens together. You can think about it practically, of course. Have you ever tried to move maybe a couch or a piano, something like that, by yourself? it's really not going to happen. But if you get, say, four people together, each one taking a corner, the load becomes manageable. You see, that reminds us what the church is for. The church is to bear one another's burdens. But even though we know it, of course, we fall into some common traps. Maybe the hardest one for us is the trap of self-sufficiency, the idea that I can do this on my own. And that, of course, reminds us of the trap of pride. I wouldn't want anyone to know that I need help. Or perhaps the false belief that needing help is weakness, or that helping others is someone else's job. But Paul reminds us that we bear one another's burdens. And when we do so, he says, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. What he means by that is we're fulfilling the law of love. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by your own load today, remember God gave you a family and church for a reason. You weren't meant to carry all of it alone. And if there's someone you know who's quietly struggling to bear all of their burdens, or someone carrying a burden that they're too embarrassed to mention, offer to help. Sit with them. Pray with them. That's how we check this box on the spiritual to-do list. Not something that we have to do with grand gestures that call attention to ourselves, but instead with a quiet faithfulness. Paul also tells us today, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, of course, you don't have to be a farmer to understand this. Even the children can understand it, as we just saw. If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. Not tomatoes, not anything else. It's a universal principle. You reap what you sow. Which makes us ask, what seeds are we sowing in our lives? If you sow selfishness, and bitterness, and pride, and materialism, whatever it is, don't be surprised then when the harvest includes stress and conflict and loneliness. But if you sow kindness and faithfulness and truth and generosity, you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit begin to bloom. Paul gives us a word of encouragement here too, because we need it. He says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I think that's a needed word for us today, because it's easy to grow weary, especially when your days can fill up so quickly with the demands of the world. I mean, imagine this kind of day. Your list is different, and this is not necessarily mine, but imagine a day where at 6:30 a.m. your neighbor rings your doorbell. They ask if they can talk with you over coffee about something going on with their son or daughter. And then at 10, well, you're going to help take a church member to a doctor's appointment. And at 2, you take a meal to a family who just had a baby. And at 6, you met a new neighbor and you're inviting them to church. And at 8:30, after a long day, your phone rings. And of course, the neighbor's cows are out on your side of the fence and he needs just a little help bringing them back. Now, you could say after a day like that, enough is enough. Or you can say, Lord, just give me the strength. Use me as you will. Now, it's not about saying yes to everything. It's not about giving up on your own needs and priorities in life. But it is about this. We as Christians don't give up on doing good, even when we're tired, even when it's inconvenient. Because what we're doing is not sowing for short-term gain. We're sowing for an eternal harvest. So, those are just three of the things on the spiritual to-do list Paul gives us. There were more. But I wonder this, how do we check off a spiritual to-do list without turning into exhausted and guilt-ridden Pharisees? How do we keep up the energy to restore people, to bear their burdens, to sow to the Spirit? Well, Paul gives us the key. He says, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key, the cross. You see, there on the cross, that's where Jesus bore our burdens. There on the cross, that's where he restored us when we were caught in sin. There on the cross, he sowed something, his own life into death, in order that he would reap for us a harvest of resurrection and eternal life and salvation. And then Paul teaches us that through baptism we are crucified with him, joined in his crucifixion and his resurrection, that we might be raised too as new creations. And so we don't do any of these things because we're trying to impress God. We do them because we are God's workmanship, those created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared in advance for us. And so we live our lives not as fearful and scared servants of God. Instead, we live them as his beloved sons and daughters. And as children of God, we don't ask, what do I have to do? But instead, we look around at a world in need and say, what can I do for others? And remember the words of Jesus from Matthew 25, where he said to us, truly, I say to you, as you did for one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So today, even today, there is something on your spiritual to-do list. It's not to earn your salvation, whatever it is, but it is to live in it, to be that new creation in Christ. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you all to rise. We join together confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord of the harvest, at your Son's instruction, we pray that you would continue to send laborers out into your vineyard, that the plentiful harvest of souls would be gathered into the peace of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, help us to sow the seed of your Spirit and fulfill the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. Guard us from growing weary in doing good or becoming boastful, so that in due season we would enjoy the harvest of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, your Son sent the 72 with the charge to enter homes to proclaim peace and declare the coming of your kingdom. Grant that our homes would be places in which your peace dwells, that husbands and wives would love and honor each other, children would be nurtured in fear and in faith towards your name, and your kingdom would come among us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be with those who govern in our nation and state, especially our president, governor, and all those elected and appointed to serve us in your name. Give to the nations an end of violence. Guide us to work towards the common good for the sake of those most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, the work of your hands is evident in the heavens above and in the sun and its course that it runs. Teach us thankfulness for your created order, that we would rejoice in all you provide and for the care of your creation. And while we thank you, Lord, for the recent rains, we remember those affected by the tragedy of the deaths brought about by the flooding. Please hold these families in your care as they mourn those lost and recover from the flood's effects. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, sustain the sick, the suffering, and the grieving, and the dying with your word of peace and with your healing grace. We lift up before you Melinda, Delvin, Courtney, Sandy, Luis, Charlene, Vance, Nellie, John, Glenda, Douglas, Yumi, Denise, Dolores, Morgan, Evelyn, Thelma, B, Cannon, Karen, Debbie, Diana, Jeanette, Laura, Deborah, Lillian, Victoria, Haley, Tom, Craig, Marie, Raymond, Laverne, Ruth, Dana, Ken, Kurt, and John. Lord, give them each patience in their afflictions and faith in your grace, that they will be kept through their day of trials. Lord, in your mercy. How awesome are your deeds, O Lord. You've planted and directed us to pray that you would send workers into your vineyard. You've answered that prayer through your Son and his church, and as your kingdom draws nearer each day, teach us to boast only in the cross of Jesus, rejoicing that our names are written in heaven. We ask all these things through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as today's offering is collected. We rise to sing the offertory. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the Lord's table. You may be seated. Please rise. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. We will keep our announcements relatively short today, but just as a reminder, today we have our Bible study for the youth that are going to be attending the youth gathering in just a couple of weeks. They'll be leaving not mid this week, but mid next week. That is already upon us. So as they prepare themselves for the youth gathering, keep them in your prayers. We'll do something next week to mark the occasion of them being sent from our congregation out to the youth gathering during the service next week. So be tuned for that. We're continuing to gather funds for the education building renovation. That continues to be moving along quite nicely. Some work was done this week amongst the committee to do a really deep dive, comparing some of the ideas from various contractors that we wanted to incorporate, and to make sure that we can get that information to them so they can put in kind of a secondary bid to make sure they match up one from the other as we consider them. So pray for the committee as they continue their work, and pray for the generosity of the congregation and community in making our fundraising goal a reality. And then another reminder, I mentioned this last week about Faith Lutheran High School. We are in that time of year where people are considering options for their kids, for high school, and where they will be enrolled. Just wanted to bring up a couple of things about Faith that you can share with neighbors and friends or family members. I mentioned last week that the tuition over at Faith is manageable in the extent that it's set at $6,750 for the year. Any new students who enroll will receive $1,000 off of their first semester tuition. So you take that number,